Hello everyone and welcome to our session today, Sub-Tier Visibility for Medical Devices. My name is Lauren McKinley and I am joined today by my colleagues at Everstream, Ulf and Mirko. Before we get started, I have just a couple of quick housekeeping items. All of our attendees are muted, but please send questions at any time in the question toolbox in the upper corner of the GoToWebinar window. You can close any extra windows to prevent buffering. And we are also recording this webinar and we'll email it to everyone within 24 hours after the session concludes. And with that, let's get started. Today, our presenters are Mirko and Ulf. Ulf leads the Center of Excellence at Everstream, partnering with our global client network to standardize end-to-end best practices for company-wide supply chain risk management adoption and offers strategic advice on planning, decision-making, and execution. Ulf has authored several articles and white papers on risk and resilience tools and methodologies, been published in numerous books and magazines, and declares himself our resident supply chain thought memer. So make sure you connect with Ulf for timely and very entertaining supply chain information. Mirko leads our global intelligence solutions team here at Everstream, with a team of over 20 analysts who monitor sources around the world to gather relevant intelligence on events that can potentially impact our clients' global supply chains and produce customized intelligence reporting. Recently, Mirko and the team partnered with the World Economic Forum on their new global value chain barometer, Risk Barometer, and his team's insights are often featured in CNBC, Forbes, and more. And with that, I will turn it over to Ulf, who will take us through the first part of our agenda around visibility in the medical technology space and the importance for sub-tier visibility. We'll talk about an analysis of global sub-tier networks here at Everstream Analytics. And then we'll talk about how the top performing medical device companies incorporate risk and visibility into their processes. And with that, take it away, Ulf.
Perfect. Hello, everyone. Hope you're doing fine today. So we wanted to talk a little bit about the medical device sector, and we wanted to start with what is the value of managing supply chain risk? And there's a great study from McKinsey that talks about that a company in medical device typically within 10 years loses 38% of their year's earning in case of an attack, in case of a disruption. That is obviously a lot of money that comes to play, so it can be hundreds of millions very easily. But it's not only about the value; it's a lot about patient safety as well. So while value and monetary aspects are important, it's also a lot about can we protect our customers, and it's about patients' life, right? So for 2023, after having seen massive disruptions in the last 2 years, we believe there is still a lot of potential for big supply chain disruptions due to coming and looming trends, and it actually starts with the planning phase, where we see a lot of volatility because of first a lot of the previous historical data is now skewed due to COVID and these massive pivots we have seen in the industry to all of a sudden focus portfolios on COVID related materials and then focusing back on what you normally produce. We see products that are new, wearables are taking over the market, and the general spend of healthcare is going down. So this triggers, if you just look at the planning side, because there's a lot of volatility, it's already hard to prepare your supply chain in general for the right amounts that you need to produce. So any ripple effects of smaller disruptions will greatly impact your ability to deliver. And we see a couple of key new trends rising. First of all, it's cyber risk. Cyber risk is really something we see a lot in this space right now. Everybody's talking about it because cyber risks in general are increasing. And that will be one of the trends we will focus on one of our next slides. Same with nearshoring, reshoring, and supply chain sustainability. We will today not cover obsolescence management or the stability of China or the air freight volatility. If you want to see all of that, we will soon have a new report on the medical device that you can download from our homepage. And the easiest way to get updates from us is to follow our LinkedIn feed for Everstream Analytics. So if we go to the next slide. what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go through the three key trends I previously showed, and we will talk about this in light of some external studies, but also some of our own insights that we gathered through combining risks and sub-tier visibility that we generate by AI through Everstream Discover and generate unique insights for you. And we are using 500 global medical device companies for which we used for this research. And it's a sub-tier mapping that includes tier two and tier three suppliers. And it's important to understand that we don't only do it in a generic way, but we have the locations, materials, all of that is included. And yeah, you will see that it fits very nicely to the general trends that we see in 2023. And we just move over to the next slide, I would say. So let's start with cybersecurity. As you can see, 44% of top executives are saying cybersecurity is one of the biggest business risks. And that's not only for medical device, but in general, everybody sees that. But we know that there's right now a very big focus from these hackers to attack medical device companies. So you should even watch out more. So important is that it's not only about you yourself and your product, but also we see that more and more suppliers are taken out and don't have the ability to deliver to you because of vulnerabilities, or one of their components that goes into your product might have a vulnerability. So all of that needs to be managed and tracked. We are obviously generating alerts on this and have risk scores, but we come to that at the end. Important for now is the key fact is ransomware attacks are still the most dominant way of supply chain attacks. And also there are a lot of data breaches still happening. Important also for medical device, you have the countries like US, Germany, Taiwan, and Japan being heavily affected by cyber attacks recently. And then with especially US and Germany, you have really household names when it comes to the production of medical devices. So going to the next slide. Yeah, reshoring, a big trend, especially for the medical device industry. So what we see is that right now, 80% of executives want to reshore again their production. If you look in comparison, in the heights of COVID, it was only 54%. So a lot of things have changed within 1 year. And first of all, the general scheme of, hey, we want to have our assets next to us so we can access our resources very quickly. That's getting more and more important. And people have a better awareness that this is that buffering within your own soil seems to be highly important. Sorry. And then obviously, a lot of medical devices, especially in the sub-tiers, are produced in China. And 26% of all severe incidents that we saw in the medical device industry, especially in the sub-tiers, originated from China. So that's actually a quite substantial amount. And then you have a lot of incentives to reshore again, like the US has with the Biden supply chain program. So we have a lot of different reasons. First of all, it's a volatility in China, plus the incentives you get maybe from your own region to nearshore again as a medical device company. So yeah, that's why it's such a big trend. And obviously once you reshore, you also have to reassess your whole network again and do risk assessment properly. Because what you want to avoid is that you reshore and then all of a sudden have sustainability issues. Because you move into an unknown territory closer to you, but still maybe unknown to you previously. So what we've seen in sustainability in general is that there are a lot of environmental concerns in the medical device industry. Also, obviously, you're affected by all the right now ongoing regulations, might be UFLPA, might be the EU Supply Chain Act that is coming up, or the German Supply Chain Act that already went into practice 17 days ago. And then FDA also said after reducing the amount of inspections they did in the heights of COVID, they are now going to just ramp up inspections again very seriously. That can also uncover a lot of sustainability issues in certain countries of the certain regions of the world. And then, as you see, Everstream Discover showed us that 37% of materials that we identified in the subtier for medical devices are actually plastic suppliers. And plastic is obviously a commodity that first has environmental concerns. Second, also is heavily produced in the Xinjiang province with PE and PP, and that obviously is something that needs to be managed because you want to avoid that one of your products has plastic from Xinjiang province in it, and now you cannot import it into the US again due to UFLPA. So UFLPA, sorry. And these are the key trends that we wanted to highlight. How you deal with these key trends, we do in a minute, but before we wanted to show you an executive briefing that we do for our medical device customers, and Mirko is going to do that.
Thank you, Ulf. Yeah, for this webinar, we've taken a bird's eye view at our own incident data at Everstream Analytics, specifically incidents that are impacting or have been impacting the medical device industry across the globe over the past 12 months. And what we've seen is that the top countries that have really been impacted by disruptions in the medical technology manufacturing industry, but also in logistics operations that are very important to the industry, are really the US, the UK, Germany, and China. But everyone has been different sort of impact in a different way, and the disruptions have differed slightly. For example, in the US, there have been a disproportionately high volume of drug safety regulatory issues. Much over half of the total industry-related incidents are related to FDA warning letters, recalls, or other regulatory action in the US, whereas if you look at the UK, all but one quarter of industry incidents were actually related to the risk of insolvency and bankruptcy filings when it comes to the medtech industry. In China, by contrast, you see obviously throughout 2022, COVID-19-related lockdowns and what we see now, labor challenges at the end of the year, also sort of labor absenteeism because of COVID sickness have caused widespread production outages all across the industry landscape in China, but also obviously the medical device industry has not been spared. Most recently, workers at the factory of Zibio Inc. In Chongqing have actually disrupted operations there following a protest and subsequent layoffs because of financial issues at the company. The company makes COVID-19 rapid antigen test kits that are distributed globally and has really suffered, especially with the recent COVID-19 policy change in China, just as an example. In Germany, the medtech industry has experienced a disruption in each of these risk categories as well. But the trend is really here that is gaining prominence is that of cyber vulnerabilities and cyber risk and cyber attacks, as Ulf has mentioned before, that has creeped up to now account for 15% of all medtech industry related incidents in the past year. Not even 6 weeks ago, there was a globally active maker of precision endoscopic instruments, Richard Wolf GmbH, which is headquartered in Germany, but it's also manufacturing in the US, in the UK, and India. They were hit by a ransomware attack that affected the company's IT systems for more than 10 days, just as one recent example of the industry. In the next slide, we'll take a closer look at how cyber vulnerabilities also pose a growing risk to the entire industry, not only in Germany, but elsewhere. We see, like most other industries, obviously the medical device industry is at a growing risk when it comes to sort of cyber and ransomware attacks, but especially the reasoning behind it is that obviously the high value of customer data and sort of the premise of customer care, as Ulf had mentioned, but also the great intellectual property related to medical research and innovation. We've looked at our data and really try to highlight here in a cross-industry analysis of different types of cyber attacks over the past year. And what sort of stands out is that the medical device industry has almost an equal share between ransomware attacks and data breaches, in contrast to other industries, right? Data breaches are really about sort of getting the value of the data out without necessarily wanting to sort of hold the company to ransom, which sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. But that's really in contrast to other industries such as industrial manufacturing or automotive, which are primarily targeted by all disruptive ransomware attacks. Furthermore, our incident data here at Everstream shows that 86% of all cyber incidents actually had a moderate or severe impact. So they were quite impactful in their sort of scope and sort of sort of disruptive ability on the affected facility. And most incidents actually impacted suppliers located in the Americas region. However, at almost 30%, the EMEA region is proving itself also at an increasing risk of such disruptions. Medical devices are in particular often seen as easy targets for cyber infiltration because of the lack of security mechanisms. They're sort of embedded in these devices historically, and also obviously for the need for remote communication between patients and providers. And so if we look at our data and sort of the components that have been produced by most of the impacted manufacturers in the medical device industry in 2022, two actually stand out. One is sort of general diagnostic devices, and the second one is insulin pumps that have been most in focus for cyber attacks throughout last year. But this is, you know, just one aspect, right? You have to sort of look at it also from not only from a short term but also from a long term perspective. What are sort of risks that are sort of creeping up around the world and sort of have the potential to impact the industry? And as part of our regular intelligence briefings with our medtech customers, we typically look at not only the most pressing high impact supply chain disruptions that are currently ongoing for the industry, but also at the medium and long term impact and sort of risks. And we receive regular feedback on what supply chain disruptions they are mostly impacted by or concerned with, and sort of refine our sort of incident coverage accordingly. If we look at the short term, the industry definitely stands most at risk of ongoing production challenges at key material suppliers, whether that's in China because of the ongoing workforce absenteeism in light of the COVID-19 sort of infections that are sort of ramping or ravaging across China in an uncontrolled manner, but also in Europe because of the still elevated energy costs that are likely to remain probably very high throughout the year, and energy supplies could again be at risk when the next winter season comes around. In the long term, however, we see an increased risk of quality issues at the supplier level, particularly if we look at from a US perspective, mainly abroad, because of the lack of regulatory inspections, for example, by the FDA, but also other drug agencies over the last 3 years amid the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. In 2022, and as you can see here on the right-hand side, 4 out of 5 inspections actually by the FDA took place at medtech or pharma suppliers that have either never or have not been inspected for the last 5 years, which again, data here highlighting the complete lack of regulatory oversight under which suppliers were able to operate recently. On the other hand, we also see a potential threat for the medtech industry coming from soon to be updated Environmental Protection Agency regulations that are related to the permitted level of ethylene oxide emissions at sterilization facilities across the US. Ethylene oxide is used to sterilize about 20 million medical devices in the US every year, and is sometimes the only option available to do that. And the EPA was supposed to update its regulations by the end of 2022, that has now been pushed to 2023. But has recently identified sterilization facilities in 23 cities across the US, including in Puerto Rico, where ethylene oxide may be contributing to a higher risk of cancer in the surrounding areas where these facilities are. And so what we expect in terms of risk analysis is that once these regulations are updated, that there's a higher risk of city or state level action against companies exceeding the permitted levels, especially in states that have sort of are more concerned about emissions, such as California. But at the same time, we see also that the EPA has been starting an outreach campaign with the local communities, informing them of the risks posed by ethylene oxide in these cities that have been identified that have these facilities. And so there's an increasing risk as well that there's the community will focus on the impacts, and that local population will sort of develop protest movements against these and sort of force city or state level regulators to sort of intervene. We're seeing this at the moment already in South Memphis. There's a lot of focus by the local population on a facility run by Sterilization Services of Tennessee that has also been picked up by a lot of media coverage recently. So there's the potential that here already a more sort of local protest movement will build against the plant and sort of force regulators to intervene. So with these insights on sort of short and long-term risks that we generally derive from our incident data and sort of brief our customers with, I hand it back over to Ulf, who will now talk about what companies can actually, or what you can do to get ahead of such risks in your sub-tier supply chain.
Yeah, so, and now we wanna talk a little bit about, yeah, what it is that you can do. And the first thing is obviously, it is very hard for a lot of companies to acquire sub-tier visibility that is dearly needed, especially if you focus on cyber risks, component material risk for cyber or sustainability issues. And therefore, Discover, our automated way of acquiring, using, leveraging AI, acquiring sub-tier data can help you. And you see here some of the numbers that actually perfectly show you why automation and AI is needed for addressing the issue. Because when you start with 29 suppliers, this is an example from a real medtech company, medical device company. You come from 29 suppliers. In tier two, you already have 212 suppliers. Tier three, you go to 1,766 suppliers. And then tier four, you end up with 13,876 suppliers. Acquiring this data is one thing, making sense out of it is another, which we do with risk management. But one thing that this should show you is surveys is not the answer. You have to do it in an automated way. So how we generally work with customers is we start with tactical risk management, which helps them to go from being super reactive to proactive using predictive insights. Then they can use our sustainability and other risk scores in Explore to really reshape their network so they can make sense out of, is this the right supplier for me? Do I want to onboard this supplier? Or if we come to the offboarding and reshoring, which of my supplier portfolio right now has a high risk for me from a sustainability or from a general risk perspective or both? And which of those should I prioritize to find a reshore alternative? Then we come to the sub-tiers, which obviously then helps you a lot with the regulations that are at hand and understanding where maybe if at one point you will have to track scope 3 emissions. This is a great start. Very important is before we were doing this one by one, now that we started looking into with best practices from other sectors, building up a concept called the Supply Chain Risk Management Center of Excellence, we can enable you to really fit very quickly your processes, your organization and the technology together so you can essentially tackle all three problems at the same time. So moving to the next slide. Here are some examples from our system, how it can look like. This is now Explore, which is our risk assessment module. You see here on the left side, you see 30 risk scores that are pre-populated by us coming from natural disasters to sustainability, to social political issues. And on the right side, you can add your own scores or we can add partner scores. And we chose here because of the cyber risk as being a looming threat for medical device. We wanted to highlight here that we have partners to add cyber risk into your assessment. And all of that will be automated. It's not a big problem for you. It will make your life so much easier in assessing new suppliers or evaluating your existing suppliers where you have to take some action strategically. And then another thing that we have wanted to highlight is this is what we call Reveal, which is essentially our alert functionality. All the good data that you heard from Mirko today essentially stems out of this module because he's populating these alerts with his team. And here again, we highlighted a cyber risk that essentially is a ransomware attack in this case. And the reason again is because it's just the also prominent risk right now in the medical device sector. But you also see weather risks, or you see a ship on the bottom right of the screen, and that's for things like port congestion. While it's not a very predominant way of delivering freight in the medical device industry, it is still used quite a lot, so it's still good to have those. But obviously, we cover a lot of air freight and road freight movements as well. So, and with that, we want to open for questions. Lauren, over to you.
Great, thank you, Ulf and Mirko. Again, for if you'd like more in-depth coverage on some of the other trends and some of the predictions kind of moving forward for 2023 and industry insights, please reach out to us. Mirko and Ulf deliver these insights on a regular basis to our clients, which is important, and we love to receive feedback and create content together. So thank you all for your engagement and time today.